We're in the middle of Torah Chof Beis and Likutei Moran, paragraph Yud Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 76, the left-hand column, about three-quarters way down the page, Ois Yud Aleph. In this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about, we had already about four shiurim on this Torah, and we discussed a whole set of different topics. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about two chosams, two seals, referring to the power of Mechiach Hadoyer Tzadikim, whose responsibility it is to inform Bnei Yisrael of any din that Hashem is issuing against them. Then we spoke about the chosam of Emuna, the chosam Hayodaim. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about drawing Emuna from the Shiva Royim, from the seven shepherds. Then he spoke about coming close to Tzadikim through Azaz Tikdusha. And the way that a person is zeicher to get to Azaz Tikdusha is through Simcha. A person gets to Simcha through Nasa V'Nishma. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the kesher between the guf and the neshama, how a person has to see to it that the guf shouldn't be left out completely from the highs that the neshama experiences. Then he spoke about Bnei Yisrael, compared to the tzaddik, are also a concept of etzem and bosor, where the tzaddik represents the bone or the neshama, and Klal Yisrael, relative to him, represents the guf. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the concept of climbing from madrega to madrega, and being zeicha to Torah Hashem and Tfilas Hashem. He brought proof from the Gemara that Kaviochel Hashem studies Torah, and Hashem is mispalel, and a person has to yearn to go higher and higher. Each time a person has knowledge that they don't know yet, that knowledge relative to them is called Torah Hashem. In other words, it's still in Hashem's hands. It hasn't become mine yet. I haven't acquired it. Once a person does acquire that level, it becomes Torah Soi, his level of Torah. Same thing with Tefillah. As a person rises to higher and higher levels of Tefillah, they get closer and closer to this concept of the Tfilas Hashem. Because the Gemara says Hashem himself davens. And the Gemara says Hashem is Mekayim the Torah, Hashem is Mevaker Cholim, etc. So Rabbeinu Zal spoke about a person trying to go constantly from cycle to cycle to higher and higher levels of Nasiv and Ishma. And this is pretty much where we're up to now in paragraph Yud Aleph. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ach kisheroitzim lotzeis mi madregas nasav nishma zeh le madregas nasav nishma gavoyim imeno." When a person wants to leave the level of nasav nishma that they're up to, and go up to the next cycle, the next level of nasav nishma, tzorech lihiyos yerida koydem hu aliyah. A person must first go down before they can go up. Person has to fall, drop a level before they can go up to a higher level. Ki hayirida hu tachlis hu aliyah. Because when a person goes down in religion, its purpose is so that the person should be able to go up. Kamay Sham Razal, as the Gemara says, Navoyde Zora should be Dav Dalet Amid Beis, those that don't have the Dalet in their Likutim runs. As the Gemara says, Navoyde Zora, Loihoyo David Roy Loisa Maisa. The Gemara says that Dovra Melech should not have done anything wrong with Bathsheba, and Bnei Yisrael should not have done anything wrong with the golden calf. Why did they? And the Gemara goes on to show what kind of madrega they were on. Dovra Melech said about himself, Velibi Cholol Bekirbi, that my heart has a corpse inside of it. What's the corpse? The Yetzahara. Dovid HaMelech testified about himself that he had slaughtered his Yetzahara completely. If so, how did he go ahead and do something with Bathsheba? Question number one. Question number two. The Torah testifies that at the time that the Jews were standing at Har Sinai, they were on a super high madrega, the Gemara says. How is it that a minute later they worshipped the Egel HaZohov? So the Gemara answers, really, if it were up to them, they wouldn't have. Kaviochel Hashem forced Dovid HaMelech to do something seemingly wrong, and Hashem forced Bnei Yisrael to worship the golden calf. They forced them into that Yerida and Nefila in order to teach tshuva to Bnei Yisrael, so that in the future, if any Jew would ever do something wrong and say, there's no hope for me, Hashem could point a finger at him and say, not true. Look in the Torah, there was a Jew, David HaMelech, who did something terrible and was able to bounce back from it. Or if a whole group of Jews would commit a sin and they would say, a group, there's certainly no hope. If a whole group gets together to do something wrong, Hashem would be able to say, not true. There were a group of Jews who did something terrible and they were able to come back from it. So Rabbi Nizal says here that the Gemara says, Lo hayah David roi lo yisamaisa, lo hayah Yisrael ruim lo yisamaisa, elo shenosan Hashem yisborach lohem michshoy letoiv asoylam. Hashem forced them to get tripped up for the benefit of the world. As the Gemara says over there in Avodah Zarah, Lohoyrois tshuva, to teach tshuva. So this is an example of a Yerida, Tachlis O'Aliyah. The fact that they committed these super sins, and the purpose of it was to bring about the greatest Aliyah in the world, which was to teach tshuva to Bnei Yisrael. There's no greater Aliyah than that. Rabbi Nizal says now, this is what's meant by the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, "V'hamachshelo hazois tachas yodecho." Machshelo means a stumbling block, something that people get tripped up on or they get trapped in. Tachas yodecho is right under your hands. The Gemara says, "Elu divrei Torah." This pasuk is referring to divrei Torah. She'ein odom oimed alehen elim kein nichshal bohem. There are certain things in Torah which a Jew will not be zeichet to achieve until they first get trapped in it, until they first make the mistake and get hurt, and then they'll learn from their mistake. This is what the Gemara says. Rabbi Nizal says now his own taich of this pasuk. Divrei Torah heim bechinas hadiburim shesvivois hamitzvah sheheim vayedabra Hashem al Moshe. Kanal. We learned earlier that in the Torah there are two sections. There's the exact command of the mitzvah, v'osu lahem tzitzis al kanfei vigdeim le'rosam, those words. And then there's the diburim that surround the mitzvah. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yomarto aleihem. Those are all words that don't literally describe the command of Hashem, but rather they're diburim of the mitzvah. It's a discussion related to the mitzvah. So Rabbi Nizal says that's called divrei Torah, the vayedabers of the Torah, those items that surround the actual presentation of the mitzvah itself. Shehem bechinas nistor. We learned earlier that that's not just stam, but rather that's a very high level of Torah. The actual commandments of the Torah are called the nase of the Torah, the asiyas hamitzvois. Those vaydabers, all the words that surround the mitzvois, those are the concept of nistor. In them is found secrets of Torah related to the mitzvah. So Rabbi Nizal says that's the bechin of nistor, bechinas nishma, bechinas tefillah, as we learned earlier. So these divrei Torah, the Gemara says, she'ein odom oimed aleihem. Rabbi Nizal explains now, oimed aleihem ze bechinas tefillah. The word la'amoid, to stand up, refers to tefillah. Ki ein amido elo tefillah. The Gemara brings proof in Brachos. It says that one of the avos returned to the place, asher omad shom, to the place where he had been standing previously. So the Gemara says, standing doing what? It means standing and davening to Hashem. So we see that the word amido is a lashon of tefillah. V'la'asois mehadivrei Torah, shehu bechinas nishma, yenas mimeno bechinas nase. If a person wants to take the divrei Torah, which we said is a concept of nistar, a concept of tefillah, a concept of nishma, and he wants to make that into nase, he wants to bring it inside of himself, ad sheyehu amido, shehi bechinas hatfilah, Yehiye aleihem, so that what will happen is that the level called amida, which is tefillah, will be aleihem. It'll rise up. Meaning, shainu sheyeh loy bechinas amida bechinas tefillah bechinas nishma govoya yoiser. He'll be zoche to an aleihem, to a higher level nishma, to a higher level tefillah or nistor. Ki kisheyehiye me'anishma nase, because we learned earlier that each and every single time that a person accomplishes this, that he takes what was originally nishma to him, what was originally nistor, and he makes it nigla, each time he does that, he gets a new nishma. He gets a new nistor. Something new moves in to replace that slot.
V'ze yefsher elim kein nichshal bohem. And the only way that a person could do that is if they go through a fall, if the person stumbles. Kilalois mi darga le darga tzorech yerido tchilo shehi amichshol. Because in order to climb from level to level in coming close to Hashem, it necessitates yerida. One obvious example of this is the concept of going to sleep at night. A Jew, while they're awake, is expected to be climbing in Avodas Hashem, davening, learning, doing mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. Then a new day is coming his way. What does he do to welcome the new day? He goes to sleep. What is sleep? Sleep is a yerida. Sleep is 1/60th of death, the Gemara says. That's going downstairs. Death means going downstairs into a grave. Sleep is a form of going down, where a person goes into the world of fantasy, dreamland. Dreams is a concept where the person's mind isn't working clear as it is when the person's awake. So sleep, nighttime, is a concept of a yerida, letzorech aliyah. The tachlis of it is that they should wake up the next morning refreshed, brand new, to be able to climb to a new height that they didn't achieve the day before. That's one example of it. Rabbi Nassal also explains in another chapter on Likutei Moran later that you should know that on each and every single level that a Jew rises to in serving Hashem, you have to know that there's a concept of a fruit and the klipa that surrounds the fruit. Each madrega has its oyer and its klipois that surround the oyer. So that when a person succeeds in winning the battle to grab hold of the 25th floor in Avodas Hashem, he battled against the klipois and he won. And he got himself entrenched in the 25th floor. Fine, everything's good. The klipois are gone. He feels as if he's very frum. Now he wants to go up to the 26th floor. Suddenly he encounters a whole new battle. Suddenly a whole new set of klipos come out to fight against the person. How does this manifest itself? The person feels themselves falling in religion. Person sees themselves starting to do things wrong or not being as good as they were yesterday or a week ago. So the person assumes that this means that I went down. And the person doesn't realize, on the contrary, this is a sign that you went up. The fact that the battle has begun again implies you're on a new floor now. You got new klipos that have come to introduce themselves to you and to try to do everything in their power to see to it that you don't get to stay on the 26th floor now. And that's another form of this concept of yerida tachlis aliyah, that there's no way a person can achieve a new madrega unless he first goes to battle against the klipos on that madrega. And very often the battle begins with the person getting punched. Person gets punched first so that he falls, he gets the yerida, and the whole test is to see, is he going to pick himself up? Is the person going to allow themselves to stay down and to start thinking, this proves Hashem doesn't want me? Because here, for a while, I was being religious, I was being good, and now suddenly I got thrown down, I got pushed down. This implies that Hashem doesn't want me. Whereas if the person is zeicher to understand what's going on, they understand the message from Dovid HaMelech and from the Egel HaZohov, that the fact that they fell wasn't a sign of Hashem's lack of love for the Jews. On the contrary, that proved how much Hashem loved Bnei Yisrael, that he forced them into a sin to fall in order to teach them first aid, in order to teach them how to come back from a fall. That was Hashem's goal. Now Rabbi Nizal says, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says that when Mashiach's going to come, they're going to go searching for the sins of Bnei Yisrael, v'einenu, and they're not going to be able to find them. They're not going to be around anymore. Rabbi Nizal explains, ki lo osid yihyeh kuloi tshuva, because in the future there's going to be Shabbos. On Shabbos we say, horachamon hu yanchileinu yoim shekuloi Shabbos. What's Yom Shekulei Shabbos? Shabbos is a concept of tshuva. When the Torah introduces the mitzvah of tshuva, it says, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Shavta you will return, Shafta is Oisiyos Shabbos. Because Shabbos is actually supposed to be the day of tshuva for the whole week. The whole week we're busy playing around with work, with bilbulim, with everything, where we're not totally in frumkeit, totally in Torah, totally in tefillah, totally in kedusha, wearing our best clothes, being in our best frame of mind. So Shabbos is supposed to be a tshuva for the 6 days of the week. The concept of La'osid Lavoi Moshiach's coming is also a concept of a tikkun for the 6,000 years before. The first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Es HaShamayim VeEs, has six alephs in it, corresponding to the six elephs, 6,000 world, 6,000 years, that's the maximum that this world is able to last. What happens after six? After six comes seven, which is Shabbos, which is Kulay Tshuva, a concept of Yom Shek. Rabbi Nezal says, Ki lo osid yihyeh Kulay Tshuva. In the future, Bnei Yisrael are going to be zeichet to a madrega of total tshuva. Vayidei ha-tshuva zedoinois nasin zechuyois. And the Gemara says that when a person is zeichet to do tshuva, me'ahava, what happens is the worst averus that the person did, the zdoinois, the sins that he did b'mezid, get converted to zechuyos. They get converted to mitzvos. The yeh nasem averus Yisrael Torah, so that the sins of Bnei Yisrael will be converted to mitzvos. What is mitzvah? Torah. From the sins will become Torah. The alkein yevukshuos vavoinos. Therefore, there's going to be this search for sins, because every extra sin they'll find, it'll be another schus, it'll be another mitzvah, another piece of Torah. Ki yivakshu v'yachbesu oz achar avoynes Yisrael. They're going to go searching for the sins of Bnei Yisrael. Eich loikhin oid eiz avoyn. If only we could find one more sin, it would be an additional mitzvah. Meaning, according to the Yerida, that's how big the aliyah will be. According to how many sins there were, when that gets reversed, when the sign on it gets reversed from minus to plus, automatically, it gets, the kavod of Hashem gets heightened tremendously. Just like the concept of a bal tshuva. According to how low a person goes, when that person does tshuva, all they do is reverse the sign. All the averos that that person did in the past, all the minuses, if the person does tshuva me'ava, suddenly get converted to pluses, to mitzvos on that person's record. Because if this person, after having been so far from Hashem and so bad, is able to overcome all the obstacles to come close to Hashem, then Hashem says, for every mile that this person was away from me, I'll give them another mile of closeness. In other words, the reverse. So Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh v'einenu, and this is why the pasuk says they're going to go searching for it, v'einenu, and it won't be there. Rabbi Nezal says, ki yihyu kol ho'avoinois nichlolin ba'ayin, because the Yidden will rise to such a madrega, as we explained in the previous shir, they'll rise to the madrega of ein soif, infinite, ayin, nothingness. Hainu be'ein soif, sheshom ho'avoinois nishapchin l'zchuyois al yidei ha'tshuva, where on that high madrega, the sins get converted to mitzvahs through tshuva. Shezeh bechinas yerido tachles o aliyah kanal. That's this concept of a yerida whose purpose is an aliyah. A yerida which finishes off in a grand finale of aliyah. Vezeh, this is what the pasuk means when it says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki choshalto bavoynecha. Do tshuva ki choshalto bavoynecha. Hainu al yedei hatshuva yenase meho averois bechinas machshela shehu atoira. Through tshuva Yisrael, what will happen is the avoinois will get converted to michshelos. Michshelos, we said, means this concept of a success, where a trip, a trap, a fall gets converted to a reversal. It gets converted to a success.
When you said that Kresh Baruch would force the Jews in the wilderness to sin by the golden calf, well then since he forced them, why did he want to destroy them and make a nation out of Moshe? And you said that when you're already on the next higher level, that the battles with those khalifas, is that now that you've been going down, or you've already arisen when you've gone down. It doesn't make sense if you have
the answer is
before you arise.
Let's take the second question first. The question is that when a person's going up to a new level, those klipos come out to meet them and to do battle against them, so that the person feels as if they fell. Because the person experiences a fall. He sees it as a cooling off towards religion, or actually chas v'shalom doing averos, whatever it is. But he doesn't know that that doesn't imply that he lost the ground. On the contrary, it implies that he started moving up, and therefore the housekeepers of that upper floor, the klipos, have come out to greet him in battle. And they started swinging. He wasn't ready for it. This person was coasting for a little while on a certain level that they had reached. Everything was calm. The klipos were already gone from there. And the person felt themselves coasting. Suddenly, trouble again. What do you mean trouble? I thought I won the war. You didn't win the war. You won the battle. You won the battle to get to a certain place. The war is still going on, and each time going to higher and higher levels. That's that point. The first question was? Right, as far as the Yidden, the answer is some of that is a movie, and it's a portrayal. It's made to seem as if Hashem wanted to destroy them completely. Whereas, in fact, the Gemara does use this wording, that Hashem pushed them into that to a degree in order to teach tshuva to the world. And we've mentioned this before, but it's a very important piece of advice. Rav Nosson Sal says in Likutei Halachos that there are times that a Jew will be forced to do an Avera by Hashem, as in these cases. If the person's meaning that the Bechira will be taken away to a degree. If the Bechira is being taken away, can I be held liable for the sin that I did? Definitely not. Then why is Hashem doing it? The answer is because Hashem wants to see how you react to an Avera. Hashem wants to see how loyal the person really is. A person that's really loyal, when there's a friendship, two people are really close friends, then when something goes wrong, somebody does something wrong to the other person, that doesn't break the friendship. On the contrary, that tests the friendship. That shows how loyal they really are. Because if they're really friends, the one that's been wronged is going to find it necessary to inform the other one or to do everything imaginable in their power to fix it, to correct it. Otherwise, if not, if the fact that something happened wrong broke the friendship, it means it wasn't a friendship. Because in friendships, in relationships, things are expected to go wrong. Nothing's supposed to be 100%. The trick is who comes back. The trick is who tries, in other words, after something goes wrong, who looks to correct? And with Hashem also, to say, for a Jew to have the chutzpah, to think that they're going to serve Hashem straight, they're going to be going straight up, is ridiculous. Perfection is only Hashem. Echad is only Hashem. By us, there has to be two, day and night, aliyah yerida. The whole trick in terms of showing how loyal a person is to Hashem is how fast they bounce back. That the minute the person realizes that they fell, I'm sorry, time to start again. Versus sitting and moping and feeling sorry, self-pity in an ugly, in a wrong way, or getting into depression, those things which are treif, which are against, it's not respect for Hashem, it's insulting to Hashem. Now Rabbi Nazal says, V'zeh pirush ha-mishnah. With this, we could understand the explanation for a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And in fact, this Mishnah is so important that the Tur Shulchan Aruch begins with this Mishnah. The whole Shulchan Aruch begins quoting this Mishnah as halacha. How a Jew should start their day, or how a Jew should start their life. The Mishnah says, Yehuda ben Tema says, Hevi az kanomer. A person has to be tough like a leopard. Stubborn. Az means stubborn, and az means chutzpahdik in a sense. To have the audacity to come back to Hashem even after Hashem threw you out. When Hashem throws a person out, a person feels as if they're being rejected by Hashem, to be willing to have the chutzpah to force your way back in, not to accept the rejection, but to keep pushing to come back, that's this az. So the Mishnah says a person has to be stubborn like a leopard, stubborn and tough and chutzpahdik like a leopard in order to come close to Hashem. Nimtza Shemazir al Azas Nidusha. Rabbein Nizal explains, so we see that the Mishnah is advising us and warning us that a Jew must have a certain holy Azus. A person has to have strength and toughness to stand up against all of those who would try to put obstacles in the person's way from coming close to Hashem, whether it's people, whether it's emotions or feelings that are turning a person away from Hashem. A person has to be tough to stand up to all of that opposition. V'tekef umiyad mevor shom goydel hapegam v'ho isur shel ho'azus ponim de sitrachra. And a second later, in that same Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about how terrible chutzpah is. That when a person has the wrong kind of chutzpah, that's considered to be the worst midah possible. K'may shekosov shom, as the Mishnah continues to say, hu hoya oimer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema used to say, az ponim legehenim. That the fastest one-way ticket to Gehenna is chutzpah. Person who acts with chutzpah, that's an express ticket to Gehenna. Vim kein efsher litois chas v'sholoim. If that's the case, that in the same Mishnah it says you should have azus and stay away from azus, obviously there's danger. Obviously there's a problem here in getting confused, in making a mistake. Because on one hand, a person must have azus in order to get close to kedusha. Ki e efsher liskarev el hakedusha beemes kiim al yedei azus kanal. Because it's impossible for a person to get close to kedusha unless a person has this azus. Now note, there are people who are religious, doing mitzvahs, fine, day in, day out, calm, no storms, no battles, but they haven't gotten to what it says here, lehiskarev el hakedusha be'emes. If a person wants to really come close to kedusha, person has to be ready to get punched, to get thrown out, to get thrown down, to get stepped on, and to come back from it. This is Rabbi Nizal's words. He doesn't say that sometimes this is going to happen. He says you should know that if a person isn't doing this, if a person opts to play roly-poly, that they're going to avoid this battle. They're simply going to take a back seat and not get involved in the punching and the fighting. Why bother? It's possible to sit in the shul and not get involved and not try to push to get to the front or anything. Take a back seat, do a mitzvah, daven a little, learn a little, but not get into the fire of the battle of struggling to really come close to Hashem or to really come close to tzaddikim. Because if a person really wants to come close to tzaddik, it's going to take azus. The person is going to get thrown out, and the person is going to get thrown down, and the person is going to have to force their way in. It's not going to come easy. There are thick walls that are put up to block all of those people who don't deserve it, who aren't worthy, who aren't sincere. Person who doesn't really want to come close to Hashem, for him, he'll be given the back seat, that ground the person is allowed to hold on to. As Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema himself says, Hevi az kanomer, that this is a must. A person who really wants to come close to kedusha is going to have to be tough like a leopard. Umitzad achar ho'azus ra'ma'oid. And on the other side, chutzpah is one of the worst characteristics that a Jew could possibly have. Hainu mishehu azus ponim shaloi b'shvil ha'kedusha. A person who shows chutzpah, not for the sake of getting close to Hashem. Makolshkein, kishu az ponim keneged akdusha, especially if a person is an azus ponim against the kedusha, shemeiz ponim keneged yirei Hashem ukiyotze, where the person shows disrespect or chutzpah against yirei Hashem, against people that really fear Hashem, sheze ho azus rama'oi, that type of chutzpah is terrible. Ki az ponim legehenim, the Gemara says that's expressed to Gehenim. Vimkein nofal puta bebira. If that make up your mind, or how am I expected to succeed when it's so difficult, when it's so dangerous? Ki ein yoidin eich lehisnahig. Because a person has no way. Go figure this out. Go figure out when you're supposed to be chutzpedik, when you're supposed to push, and when you're supposed to be quiet. There are times that a person's supposed to be quiet. There are times that a person gets embarrassed or insulted. And the Gemara says, Ein maratzen b'shas kasoy. When a person's Rebbe insults them and embarrasses them, for the person to attempt, or for that matter, even if it's a friend or a parent, for a person to attempt to defend themselves at that time and justify is not going to help. It'll make things worse. That's a time to be quiet and to take the bath, period. Because the Gemara says, Ein maratzen b'shas kas. At the time of the anger, you're not supposed to be maratzen. On the other hand, if a person's going to say, I'll be quiet and I'll sit in the back and I won't push to get close, the Gemara says, V'loya b'ishin lomid. Person's going to take that shy role of sitting quietly, no waves, not making any waves, not trying especially hard to get close to Hashem or close to Tzadikim, also not going to work. The person simply won't get close. They'll coast. So if that's the case, how in the world is a person expected to know exactly when and how to act? Rabbein Azal says now, Al ze bikei shatana, therefore the Tana in that Mishnah says a tefillah. He says, Yehi rotzoin shetivne ircha b'mehera b'yameinu. May Hashem build Yerushalayim very quickly. Shelechoyro hu plia gedoyla. This is an incredibly strange thing. V'chol odam mishtoimim al zeh. People that learn Mishnayis marvel at this. Mas michus yesh letfila zois lakoidim. What in the world does a tefillah for Binyan Yerushalayim have anything to do with what the Tana was talking about before, about Azponim and Az... V'gam ein ze derech ha-mishna lehispalel tefillah bakosha b'em tzedvorov. And secondly, go find me another Mishnah in Shas where it says that one of the Tanoim davened. There's no tefillahs in Mishnayis. Rabbein Azal explains, Ach ato mavur heitev. But based on what we just learned, you'll understand the connection very well. Hainu shehispalel sheyizke leida eich lehisnaheg b'inyan oazus. This Tana was actually davening to be zoicha, to get to know how to deal with azus. Hainu shelo yeloi shum azus de sitrachra, meaning that on one hand, he should not chas v'sholem have any of the wrong kind of azus, Rak sheyizke sheyeloi azus digdusha. But on the other hand, he should be zecha to have the azus digdusha. She'al yodoi nivne Yerushalayim kiryon emuna. Because we learned earlier that how do you get to emuna? Through the shivaroyim. Ure'ei emuna, the pasuk says. That the royim are the ones who teach you emuna. How do you get to the shivaroyim? Through azus. We said, Nehalta v'ozcha el nevekojecha. So the Yerushalayim, which is called Kirya Ne'emona, the building of Yerushalayim means the tikkun of Azus Tikdusha. Based on what we learned earlier, Yerushalayim is being built up, which means the Emuna being Nishlam is a product of Azus Tikdusha. Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu shezoichin le'emuna al yidei zeho azus kemavur le'el. A person is zoichin to emuna through azus, as we learned earlier. She'i efshe l'skariv l'tzadik mamitim, she'im b'chinas klolias shivaroyim. It's impossible for a Jew to be zoichin to get close to tzadik mamitim, who represent the combination of all seven shepherds of Bnei Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yosef, and David, Shehem Chloliyas Hakdusha, they represent the totality of all holiness. Sheikur Hoemuna Nimshech Hayodom, where the main concept of faith in Hashem comes only through them. It's impossible to get close to them, Kim Al Yidei Azus, unless the person has a degree of chutzpah, a degree of pushing themselves. We just learned recently in talking about Rav Nosson Zal, the way he talks about what he went through, how there were so many times where as difficult, as much as he had problems with money, not being able to afford to make a trip to go see his Rebbe, to go see Rabbeinu Zal, and as much he had obstacles from his wife, who wanted to kill him, who wanted to divorce him, because she felt he was chasing some crazy rabbi, etc., etc., and she felt he was being an extremist, the chassid and everything. Rav Moshe Zal writes, all of that was easy compared to the obstacle that he felt from Rabbeinu Zal himself, that there were so many times that it seemed to him that Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to be bothered. He didn't want to be called. He didn't want to be disturbed. He didn't want to be bothered. And that was the hardest thing to overcome. The suffix that each time it came to picking up a phone, he got butterflies in his stomach. Each time it came to doing so, trying to make a move to get close, he felt as if the tzaddik doesn't really want me. Why bother? Here I'm trying, I'm being so good, and he doesn't even have the decency to put out a welcome mat, to hold out both hands to greet me. When in truth, Rav Nosson Zal realized that if there was anything, if there were any obstacles, it wasn't the Rebbe's fault, it was his fault. It was something he had to battle and he had to overcome. So therefore, he turned on the Azus Dikdusha. He looked for excuses. Rav Nosson Zal gave an example one time of cases where he actually would figure out plans to work out excuses as to why he was coming, which wasn't his real kavona. His real kavona was simply to look at the Rabbeinu Zal's face or the hope that maybe he'll be zocher that Rabbeinu Zal will say a word to him. And that one time that he'll say something will pay back for 30 trips where he said nothing, where he got thrown out. Because that's the nature of these tzaddikim. I remember our Rebbe Zichron of Rocha saying this, and you see it in Yemei Maranat. Rav Nosson Zal uses these exact words, that there were certain times where Rabbeinu Zal showed him his skarvus, where that one time paid back for 500 times that Rabbeinu Zal held him at arm's length, or at six arm's length. That's the nature of the power of a tzaddik to be makariv. So on one hand, he needed tremendous azus for that. And on the other hand, you hear him describe how he stood in front of Rabbeinu Zal like he was standing in front of Hashem. Like he was standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't dare for 1 minute to allow himself to look at his Rebbe in the 1700s as being he's almost like Moshe Rabbeinu. If a person thinks like that, then they won't have the kind of respect and the kind of love and the kind of loyalty that they need to really get close to a Rebbe. If a person wants to really be matzliach and getting close to a Rebbe, a person has to have this picture. As far as I'm concerned, this is my Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if it's Moshe Rabbeinu, now it's no fooling around. Now it's a serious, Moshe Rabbeinu steps on you, you don't step on him back, number one. And if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't put out a welcome mat, so what is it? He owes me? There's something that he owes me? If I tried 30 times and I didn't get the welcome, then I'll try 300 times. I'll try 3 million times. There's no option of walking away from Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu exists, and if such a thing is available, there doesn't exist an amount of rejection that's going to excuse the person's laziness or the person's lack of coming close. So Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zehu yehi rotzon shetivnei yircha b'mehera v'yameinu." This is why the Tana said, "Halavai we should be zocher that Yerushalayim should be rebuilt." Hainu sheyie ha'azus azus digdusha shemimeno nifnei Yerushalayim kiryan emona. Meaning that we should be zocher to know the difference between azus digdusha and azus disitrachra, and we should be zocher to the azus digdusha, which brings a person close to tzaddikim, from which he gets emuna, which is a nickname for Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a nickname for Emuna, because Yerushalayim is called Kirya Ne'emona. And the word Yerushalayim means Shleimus Hayira, which we learned earlier is again another nickname for Emuna. When a person says to Emuna, that's Shleimus Hayira. The question is, how does a person get to this? How does a person get to this Azus Digdusha that's needed for to get close to the tzaddik and to get to the emuna? Hu al yidei v'sein chelkenu b'soyrosecho. Hainu al yidei shemasigin b'chinas nasa v'nishma. Through a person achieving the madregas of nasa v'nishma, she'oisin me'anishma nasa mitoras Hashem toirosoy, where the person is constantly climbing. Person's not staying on one level, but going higher and higher from level to level, converting nishmas to nases, converting what was originally Torah Hashem, making it his Torah, acquiring that. Dahainu shezoich lahasig Torah Hashem kanal. The person zoich to be masig. What's Torah Hashem? Vizehu v'sein chelkeinu b'soirosecho sheyeh chelkeinu shehu achelik shelonu b'Torah. Meaning it should become ours. Hainu b'chinas toirosoi, b'chinas nase. In other words, it should become my Torah. It should become b'chinas nase. That which was originally b'toirosecho, which was originally Hashem's Torah. Hainu toiras Hashem mamish. Hainu sheyizgeli hikolel ba'ayin kanal. The only way a person could be zeicha to this is by becoming nichlal in ayin. That's how a person is zeicha to be masik toiras Hashem mamish. Sheyizke lahasik toiras Hashem b'chinas nishma. Shaydei zeh zeichen l'simcha kanal. That's how a person is zeicha to simcha. When a person has that ayin, Rabbein Zal explained earlier, the person is zeicha to the keser, to the v'simcha soilam al roisham. Shaydei zeh zeicha l'azistik dusha kanal. That's how a person is zeicha to azistik dusha. A person needs simcha to get to azistik dusha. Bechinas ki chedvas Hashem hima uzchem. As the pasuk says, joy with Hashem, that's your strength. Because when a person is depressed, or if a person is 97% in simcha, then the person won't have what it takes to fight to get close to tzaddikim. It's only if a person forces themselves and pushes themselves to be zeicha to shleimus ha-simcha, then when the need comes to having azas dikdusha, the person won't be moping, the person won't be looking for excuses to get out of it. Tomorrow I'll get close to the tzaddik. Maybe tomorrow he'll put out a welcome sign for me, that kind of thing. When the person is zeicha to true simcha, then when the opportunity comes up to get close, and there's a wall in the way, there's an obstacle, the person will find it in themselves to arouse the azas dikdusha that's needed to break through that wall, to get over the obstacle. Interestingly, Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halacha says that this test of being able to differentiate between Azas Dikdusha and Azas Desitrachra, this is one of the holiest and most difficult and most significant items in the whole Yiddishkeit, because this is actually the symbolism behind a ceremony that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur to forgive all the Averis of the Yidden. One of the things the Kohen Gadol did was he took a Soir, two Seirim. A Soir means an Aes, a goat. He took two goats, two Ezim, two Azuzes, which had to look exactly the same, same color, same height. They had to be exactly equal. And he put a Goyrel on them. He drew a Latz, to see which one would be Kodesh Lashem and which one would go Lazozel. What's the whole symbolism behind that? Rav Nosson Zal explains, this is the secret of this battle. Yom Kippur, this is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, bringing about a Kapora for the whole Klal Yisrael. What is the Kapora for the whole Klal Yisrael and the Hatzlacha of the whole Klal Yisrael dependent on? Knowing this message, that there are these two Izim, there is Azas Dikdusha, and there is Azas Desitrachra, and one of them goes Lazozel, one of them gets a person a one-way ticket to Gehenna, and one of them is Kodesh Lashem, and for a person to think that they're going to figure it out using their own brains is silly, because there's no way with brains alone a person will be able to know when to have chutzpah, when to push, and when to sit back, when to wait. And therefore, this is totally in Hashem's hands. Goyrel means I'm showing that I realize that it's not a biyodi, it's not something that can be done al pi derech hateva, it's something that's totally in a siyata dishmaya. Hashem himself has to make this choice. And so too, the whole concept of a Jew's success in being zeicha to differentiate between Azas Dikdusha and Azas Desitrachra, and to be zeicha to have what it takes and not to have what it takes to get yourself into Gehenim, that's totally in tefillah. It's something that comes from Hashem. It's not something that a person could learn necessarily, but it's something that a person needs incredible siyata dishmaya to be zeicha. Baruch Hashem was zeicha that Rav Nosson Zal was nice enough to write a sefer to describe to us to a degree his own battles and his own tests and where he was put into situations where he had to have Azas Dikdusha and situations where he had to wait certain times to be able to see an example of what a person, what kind of experiences a person will go through.
Shat doesn't seem like such a difficult thing to differentiate. I don't think it was as completion and has this lack of completion. Because you can see, like, what's an ugly thing to find.
Not true. And I'll prove it to you. The example, lying. Person would say lying, sheker, is one of the worst crimes in Yiddishkeit. The whole yisoid of Yiddishkeit is emes. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when it says loy signoiv in the Torah, you shouldn't steal, and there's a psik, there's a line in between loy and signoiv, don't slash steal. The Zohar HaKadosh says this means that usually don't steal, but there are certain cases where we say loy, don't, comma, steal, don't what? Don't be a yo-yo. When your Rebbe asks you, your Rebbe is about to teach you something, and he says, do you remember this? Did I tell you this, Dvar Torah? Don't tell him the truth. Yes, you told it to us, but rather steal. Be goinev das. Tell him, no, I don't remember. Why? Because ein beis medrash b'lei chiddush. Because when it comes to Divrei Torah, if you'll hear it a second time, it'll be a tremendous benefit to your neshama. Number one. Number two, usually when it's told over a second time, there's something additional. There's something different from the first time. So here's an example where a person would say, al pi Torah. The Torah says, don't lie. What do you mean? My Rebbe asks me something. I have to answer the truth. And there's a loy, there's a whole limud of knowing when the truth is gaiva. When your Rebbe asks you, do you know this? And you say yes, and you think it's true, that's not truth, that's dumb. That's one example. Another example is the case of sometimes a person wanting to get close and being doichek es hashur. Sometimes a person finally woke up. Person's been sleeping for 30 years, not being religious, not doing mitzvahs. Suddenly he woke up, he wants to become religious. Wants to become religious, the world has to stop for him. And if there's a tzaddik around, the tzaddik has to stop everything he's doing for him. And if this person sees that tzaddik is involved with somebody else, then finish, then I give up. Because here I was waiting, I wanted to speak to him, I wanted to do something, and I see he's involved with somebody else. Again, this justifies my going to sleep, my hibernating, whereas baloney. For that person, that was his nisoyan of waiting. Knows that moment when it wasn't possible, and Rav Nosson Zal himself talks about this with himself, certain times that he wanted desperately, and he saw it didn't, one time he wanted to go on a trip, right? He heard Rav Nosson was going to a certain place, and he wanted to accompany him, and he begged Rabbein Azal once, and Rabbein Azal said no. And he asked them a second time, and Rabbein Azal said no, because you don't need this. It's not for you. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that when Rabbein Azal said it in that way, he understood that even though on one hand, what do you mean it's not for me? Just let me stay with you and look at you. Even if you don't say a word, it'll be a benefit to me. And Rabbein Azal understood better. Rabbein Azal understood that there was a certain distance that had to be maintained, that too much of anything is no good. That even for a Rebbe to be Makarav a Talmud too much, or for a parent to show too much closeness to a child, is destructive. A parent has to know to keep a certain safe distance from a child. A Rebbe has to know to keep. So there's a concept of not having it tmidi, not constant, not always available. But the fact that Rav Nosson Zal had to travel from his city to Rabbein Azal, and the fact that there were certain times that he tried and failed, that's what led to his hatzlacha.
To achieve this kind of Aziz Kedusha, it doesn't seem like it's the chain you mentioned. What you really need is like a sixth sense, either someone, a friend who can tell you these things, or somehow, you know, like a person who has it.
Not enough. Because one of the things Rabbein Azal says here and stresses here is that, for example, you need simcha to get to Azus. This is a proven fact that when a person is depressed or when a person is not totally happy, and it takes, Azus means extra effort. Chutzpah means, when we say a person has chutzpah, person walks into an office and says, can I have this form? I need this in this form. And they say, sorry, Charlie, can't have, it's 12 o'clock. We work till 12, coffee break now. You look at the clock, it's 12:05. Person has chutzpah and he'll go up to the clock and change it and say, no, it's not, it's 5 to 12. Or take the clock and turn it around, just spin it a little, and says, no, you were looking at it wrong. The only way a person could do that is if a person's in a certain frame of mind. It takes a certain simcha to have azus. Rav Nosson Zalman Likutei Halachos gives examples of it, you know, and elaborating. I'm giving you a tiny dogma. There's no person could even have friends to show him, but if he'll allow himself to slide into a certain type of atzvus or a certain type of sleep, sitem gornish elfin. You can tell him from today till tomorrow, when the test will come, nobody's home, period. And in order for a person to be there in that, because a lot of times it's a moment, it's a second difference between I'm coming and I'm not coming. And it's a 6-week trip or a 6-month trip. And a person has to make that decision, jump or not jump. And the only way he'll do it is if all of these things have been prepared before. The person brought himself to a state of simcha. The person had the training to know that there are times that you have to do 110 where 100% is not enough. 100% won't make it. Where it's going to take 120%. Person has to jump, and if he jumps, he gets everything. That kind of, and those times, this is what Rabbeinu Zal is building here, telling us all the different things that are needed to lead up to that. The emuna, the azus, the simcha leading up to that.
Can you translate the phrase nafal puta b'bira?
It means, the literal translation is that something has fallen into the abyss, like, in other words, something, meaning it's of no use to us. If you're telling me that I have to have azus, and you're telling me azus is destructive, then what did you do for me? That's what it means. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, this Torah on Likutei Moran has hundreds of pages of Likutei Halachos on it. And Rav Nosson Zal doesn't mince words. He comes out very clear, explaining that there's no fooling around with this. Now, if we hear that Moshe Rabbeinu had many Talmidim, and there was one Yehoshua, question is why? They all will learn it. They all learned and did mitzvahs, this, that. Part of it has to do with what's written here. There's a difference between a person who's willing to go to 60, or a person who's willing to go to 80, or a person who's willing to go to 110, 150. A person who's willing to do things that are irrational. I mean, if a person got thrown out 3 times in a row, person dipped in a mikveh 6 times and nothing happened, you're going to be stupid enough to dip a 7th time? Tzaddik tells you, dip in these waters 7 times and you'll be cured. Person dips 6 times and sees nothing happened, obviously, logically, this is not going to help. The answer is that's a time for anti-logic, no logic. And same here with the whole concept of Hiskashrus to Tzadikim, that the Torah is saying you should know it's going to take a certain youthfulness, a certain aggressiveness in a way that's not standard, it's not normal. The word az, knows gibor means powerful. Az is something above Gibor. Az means 110. Az means that when the door's closed, it's 12 o'clock, there's nothing to come back tomorrow, there's nothing to talk about. Az says it's 12 o'clock, that's when the sale begins. When the customer says, no, I don't want this, that's when the salesmanship begins. Because if he would have said yes, you don't need a salesman. If the person wants this, they didn't have to send a salesman. They could have sent a monkey to give it to him. The fact that they called me a salesman and they're paying me commission, this, that, is based on the fact that when a person says no, I know how to make no yes. With the Rebbe also, there's this concept when the Rebbe says no, and a person has enough desire, enough kisufin and ritzoinois to change no into yes, That's Azus Dikdusha. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vizeh uboishes ponim legan Eden." The mission over there says, "Az ponim legehenim, uboishes ponim legan Eden." Ki beemes zeh ho Azus Dikdusha nimshach mi boishes. Rabbeinu Zal says, "This Azus Dikdusha itself comes from a certain shyness, an edelkeit. It's because a person knows how low they really are. It's because a person knows how weak he really is and how nothing he is and how desperately he needs the tzaddik. That's what gives him that extra oomph, the 110 that it takes to go that extra mile. Ki la'azis dikdusha zoichen al yidei simcha v'chedva. Because we learned earlier that in order to get the Asas Dikdusha, a person needs Simcha and Chedva. Bechinas ki Chedva Sashem Yimuschem kanal. Ule Chedva Sashem Zoychen al Yidei Bechinas Nasa V'nishma kanal. And we learned earlier that how he Zoychen to Simcha through Nasa V'nishma. When the Yidden said the words Nasa V'nishma, the Gemara says the Malachim put two crowns on their head. Rabbi Nizal quoted the Pasuk, V'simchas Oilam al Roisham. Those crowns were crowns of Simcha. So Rabbi Nizal says, V'ikar shlemus ha-simcha hu'al yidei ha-yira. We learned earlier that what's called simcha, simcha means making dirty jokes, simcha means just leitzonus. The ikar simcha is what a person is zeichet to through yira. When a person has true fear of Hashem, that brings a person to a simcha digdusha, that the person knows what to be happy about, and the person knows how to be happy in a way that Hashem gets nachas from it. Shehi b'chinas nishma, b'chinas tefila kanal. That simcha that represents nishma, tefila. The yira hi haboishes. And we know that yira goes together with busha. As the Zohar Kodesh says, the word bereishis is the words yore boishis, that fear and shyness go together. Those two go together. Yira leads to this boishis dikdusha. Nimtzo shezeh ha'azas dikdusha nimshach mi boishis. So we see that in actuality, this azas dikdusha, a person achieves through a boishis ponim. Through boishis ponim legan eten, a person avoids the az ponim legehenim. A person will be zeichet to the az astikdusha. By a person knowing how low they really are, and how weak they really are, and how desperately they need help, that person will have the gutsiness and the oomph and the everything that it needs, the drive and the initiative to make it happen. Not to accept rejection, but to push as hard and good as it takes to succeed. Because this Azus Dikdusha, which we said is based on a busha, that corresponds to what we learned earlier, the level of Nishma, Nistor, Eden. Shehu Bechinas Nishma, Bechinas Yira, Bechinas Tfila Kanal. If you look back, last shiur or two shiurim ago, where Rabbi Nizal discussed the things on the upper level and the lower level, these were all items of that upper level. And when the Tana presented these two items, the Azus Dikdusha and Azus Desitra Achra, this is why the Tana was mispalel, because the Tana was making us aware that to distinguish between these two izim, there's no way a human being could do it. Even the Kohen Gadol couldn't do it. He needed Hashem to make the decision which A's was Kodesh Lashem and which A's was Sor Lazozel. This is something that takes a Siyata Dishmaya. Halavai, we should be zeichet to have the Azus Dikdusha that it takes to get close to the Tzadikim Amitim, and in that zechus to get to see the coming of Moshiach. Amen.